Everybody ready? All right, it's about 6:30, and it's time to call the regular meeting of the East Bay Charter Township Zoning Board of Appeals to order. Could we have a roll call, please?
Henshaw.
Here.
Garen.
Here.
Dozinski.
Here.
Bartlett.
Yes.
Hausman.
Here. At this time, we'll review for conflict of interest. Does anybody on the board have a real or potential conflict of interest on anything regarding tonight's agenda? Hearing none. Approval of the agenda, and I would like to propose amending it to include the resolution of meeting dates and times for the ZBA, January through December 2020. A copy is in our packets.
And make a motion to approve the agenda with the addition of the meeting resolution.
Support.
Moved and supported. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passed. Approval of the minutes from 8/20/2019, regular and site review meetings. Take a minute to review if you wish.
And make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular and site review meeting of 8/20.
Support.
Moved and supported. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passed. And at this time, we will entertain public comments. If anybody in the audience has anything they would like to address, not including what's on tonight's agenda, you have an opportunity to do so now. Hearing none. Old business, none. And new business. We will begin with appeal request 5-19. This is by Nick McAllister, who is the authorized agent for Cliff Wilson, owner on a parcel of land located at 585 Peninsula Trail. Property identification number 28-03-620-131-00 in the Lakes Area, LA Zoning District. The request is to construct a detached garage requiring a variance from Section 505, Table Number 1, yard setbacks. Specifically, the request is for a 7.3-foot variance from the road right-of-way, which results in a 12.7-foot setback. The minimum setback for a detached garage in the LA district is 20 feet from the road right-of-way. Okay, at this time, Mr. Wilson or Mr. McAllister, would either of you like to go on the public record, let us know about your request? Please start by stating your name and address.
Yeah, my name is Clifford Wilson, and I bought this property in 1987, 585 Peninsula Trail. I've enjoyed it with my family for many years, and occasionally get friends and neighbors asking, why don't I pick up my toys and put them in my toy box instead of leaving my trailers out in my front yard and other things like that. And I say I have a single-car garage there, and it is full of the toys that I have, but I am now retired and intend to spend more time up here and probably need room for two cars in a garage and any other hobbies I can pick up. What I've asked for, because of the shape of this lot, it's very narrow up on the top. On the east side where my present garage is, there's a garage that was put there in around 1970, and you can't build things like that anymore. They evidently built up the land quite a bit and dumped a lot of soil there, and it's quite high up. And to the west, the land gets narrower and narrower, and if I try to put a 32-foot wide building along there, I start going down a rather steep hill I have toward my house and the lake. And therefore, I can meet the 20-foot at one corner, but when it gets over to the west side of the lot, I had to rotate the design so that I would have the same depth along the back where it goes down the hill. And that ends up pushing the west corner of this proposed structure closer to the road.
Okay, thank you. We may have questions for you. You're welcome to sit in the meantime.
Okay.
We'll open this up to the public now. Does anybody in the public have questions or comments regarding this proposed request? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Judy Nemitz, 4572 Albert Cortade Road. And last Tuesday night, I would like to comment on what Commissioner Henschel brought up regarding this, and I think they're valid, and would like to reiterate that to you all, that when reviewing this, the slope is extremely, extremely steep, and Commissioner Henschel indicated as well that we didn't hear the builders to rectify that situation and what they were going to do to stabilize and make that slope safe, etc. We did look. There are trees that had already been removed, as you probably saw tonight, and there would be trees that might not live or need to come out on that slope. So stabilizing that is critical. The other thing that Commissioner Henschel, and help me out, Ted, if I don't say this correctly, is that we don't like to leave the decision to other governing bodies regarding the ordinance and the engineering of it. And so we'd really like you to, you know, look at the variance and abide by the zoning ordinance that's in place. Number one, because most cars are 15, 16 feet. A pickup truck is a lot longer. And if you're going to put a driveway in that's 12.7, it's going to stick out. And I have on my phone a garage that Nick did next to me that's supposed to be 20 feet from the road. And they're not parking even up to the garage, and the plow had to go around that car the other day, which creates issues for the rest of the folks on the road because the road cannot be plowed properly. So the question is, you know, are you planning to park cars in there? You can't. It's a nuisance. It's line of sight. It's safety. I think the 20-foot back is in our ordinance for a reason, and those are my concerns with this granting of the variance.
Thank you. Would anybody else have questions or comments at this time regarding?
I'd just like to make a quick comment.
Julie. Sir, yes.
Everybody here doesn't know that the applicant came to the Planning Commission last week, and this was approved conditionally upon a variance and also upon the Planning Commission's acceptance of the stormwater retention, whatever plan. You call it, their permit for that. Because, you know, we've had experience in the past where we say, oh, don't worry about that, the other agency is going to take care of that, and it doesn't take care of it to our satisfaction. So I brought that point up at the meeting a week ago.
Soil erosion comes to mind.
Yeah, they don't call it that. What do they call it?
No, it's soil erosion, but what we put in the minutes was that our engineer would look at the soil erosion permit to see if it meets our lakes overlay requirements.
So would that be an additional requirement?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that's what we put in there.
We wanted to see it to make sure that we felt it met our ordinance.
Yeah, but you're going to see it after the fact. You're going to get a letter from Wade Trim telling you that it meets our forest overlay.
Right. Or it doesn't.
Or it doesn't. And they won't get a permit if it doesn't.
Right. You give the first permit.
Right.
They can't do nothing until they have that. We want to make sure that we agreed with what the soil erosion department came up with.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public questions or comments regarding this request? Okay. We'll close the public input and open it up for the board to discuss and act.
So I'd like to make a couple comments based on our site review tonight. I learned for the first time that instead of this proposal being a 24 by 34 foot structure, it's actually requested to be a 24 by 32 foot structure. The applicant said that he would be willing to move that extra 2 feet off the west side. Is that correct? All right, and that would make that corner less nonconforming than what you're requesting currently. And one other material fact that I feel is important is the proposal is to have a single, a 16-foot wide garage door. And the garage door starts on the east side, and it doesn't extend all the way over to the west side. And my point is the edge of that garage door would be about 15 feet from the road right-of-way instead of 12.7. So those may or may not be important to the board, but they are facts that we should consider.
Leslie, do we know the total acreage of the two lots combined? I'm coming, or does the applicant, or
0.52.
Leslie, under permitted uses for accessory buildings, and it says it can be with floor area less than or equal to the footprint of the principal building, and up to 150% of such footprint on parcels of at least 40,000 square feet. So does that mean
that's why we went to the Planning Commission for a special land use.
Okay.
So that's not a consideration before us?
No.
Okay.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
My feeling is protect the lake is more important than being close to the road. I'd hate to see him move what Frank was talking about, move the building, which would mean there'd be more filling and more trees down going towards the lake. And like you said, if they put the door where they said that, I'm assuming they would park in front of the door. That's where they would asphalt it or cement it or whatever, so that, you know, that would be a little closer. And if people are parking in the road, I'm assuming that is a question for law enforcement. So that's kind of the way I felt at the Planning Commission. I'm concerned about the runoff from the building, you know, not like the other guy we talked to tonight where the slope is going to go towards, away from the lake. This one is going to have a standard, what'd you say, 412 or pitch on it. So the overhang is going to be hanging right over. That's why I'm really I'm real interested to see what the soil erosion people say.
Okay.
I think it's going to have to be something a little more substantial than a French drain, you know what I mean?
Sure.
To keep that from eroding the bank there and all the runoff down the lake. So that's kind of where I'm at.
So I have a question or two, Mr. Wilson. Is your proposed structure single story, or will there be storage in an upper level of some sort?
No, it's single story.
All right.
Tried to make something look quality. It's not like you're just buying a kit garage or anything like that. I want it to look quality, and it's going to cost a lot of money. So pretty expensive for a garage. So, but I want something that neighbors don't think is too trashy, and kind of fits in with the neighborhood there.
Okay. Did you also mention your plans for an existing garage structure on your property?
Well, the existing garage needs a little updating as far as, you know, a new garage door that I would get to match the garage door on my new structure, and just some general trim changes.
Okay. Did you mention at the site review that the buildings would be matching?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And just to speak very briefly on the drainage issue.
Of course.
I talked to an engineer who who is used to doing that and familiar with my property. He did some calculations on my proposed roof. It's only the back side of the roof that would drain toward the lake. The rest of it, of course, drains toward the road. And he came up with a figure based on a 3-inch rainfall in 24 hours and said that he's used to doing that kind of work for another drain commission or water resources or whatever they call themselves now, the county. It's in another county in Michigan. And he did say that there probably wouldn't be a problem with water going into the lake because right downhill is my house. The water going into the lake would have to go through my house first. So he said it's a problem for you and something myself that you would have to look into and be careful of the drainage there. But as far as draining into the lake, it probably wouldn't drain into the lake itself.
Okay. And, of course,
the engineer I'm talking about is my son. Okay. So I did get to talk to him about it, and he does know this house because he's there for 32 years.
Okay. So you're aware that your soil erosion plan would have to meet the township overlay requirements?
There's first a county assessment.
And
then I guess there's additional requirements, which my builder says he will be familiar with.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Further questions?
I just wanted to ask you, Mr. Wilson, we've been to two of them tonight, so I might get confused.
I know.
Are you talking about, was there a proposed sidewalk or something on the back side of the garage or something?
Yes. Because my guests coming to the house probably wouldn't go through my garage to get to my steps to go down to my house, I have to provide a bit of a walkway around there. And it's not really shown on those stakes because those stakes were the slab.
Right.
So there's an additional area of 3 to 4 feet that I've got to come around the back of this proposed garage. What I showed in the design, because I've already had a plans drawn up for this to try and settle some issues. And they showed it like a deck sort of construction that would maybe be 3 feet wide.
So you're not going to fill for it? You'd actually like put posts down?
Probably not, because we're looking at maybe 16 to 18 inches between what would be a safe walking height there and the actual ground itself. But like my son said, you might be either using that as part of the drainage off of there, or you might have to put something underneath it to be able to drain properly toward the road if you attempt to do that. And I would attempt to do that if it's feasible.
One last question for you, Mr. Wilson, on my part. Again, the garage door is going to be not centered on your proposed garage, but over to the side closest to your existing garage, correct?
Yes.
Any pavement? What is your plan for pavement between the garage and the roadway? Is it asphalt, concrete, crushed stone?
Crushed stone with a slight dip in it, so it would water would go there and
doesn't go out to the road, doesn't go in your garage.
Right.
Yeah.
It would be an absorbent surface.
Okay. Is it your plan just to have it where the garage door is, and maybe a foot either side to allow for people to step out? It's not your plan to put crushed stone all the way across the front of the garage. Is that correct? Okay.
Although traditionally we park on the lawn there, so it's safer to park on the lawn than it is on the street. The trees are quite close on the other side of the street. I think you parked there tonight, and you were kind of on the road. So, it's not a great parking spot across the road.
Understood.
So I have a lot of lawn there that I can put 4 cars in at least. So rarely have more than that.
Which is now going to be the garage, correct?
No. No, in front of my old garage. It's 45 feet off the road. So that's enough room to put 4 cars.
Sure. So What did we figure? Didn't we have a rough idea of what the new setback number on that west corner would be?
13.175 feet.
13.175. Okay.
Can we make that part of the?
Can we amend the variance so it reads that way?
We need to amend the variance, or can we just make it part of the requirements that it has to come off of that side of the... He has to set the building.
Whatever you want.
We can propose a lesser variance, if that's your wish.
Well, his permit from the Planning Commission is that he has to take that 2 foot off.
Right, and
right.
We've already
and he's
established that he's
he'd
going to take
it
out
the west
side,
right.
And the variance can be reduced, if you wish, to force that fact.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just want you to make sure that you know that's the variance, the exact variance, because I don't want him to come in and say, oh, we were off by...
So
that's
a responsibility on them to present a proper plan tonight.
Right. Instead of specifying maybe the exact footage, just specify they have to remove the 2 feet from that west side.
Okay.
Right. No. Yeah. Yeah. Because if it comes out of like 13.174,
right.
Well, geez.
Yeah. Brings
I don't have any hairs to split, so.
Right.
All right. I have a few.
Further discussion? Motion?
Yeah, I've got one more point of discussion. Year or two ago, maybe even three, along Spider Lake Road, there was a garage that, granted, they had factored in having lower storage, and they wanted a variance, and I think it was in the section of Spider Lake Road where the center line of the road doesn't match the actual physical center line of the road, right? And so based on just some hand measurements, they were where they were. Help me recall correctly, I know we had them move everything back, which required taking down another tree and putting more of the structure, more of their basement exposed on the sidewalls than they had planned before.
Further down the hill.
Yeah.
Right.
Further down the hill, and they were excavating for a basement anyway, so they had to move the whole thing farther out, which exposed more, so they had to step their footings. They still had to step their footings where they were. They had to add footing backward, you know, another 2, 3, 4 feet, whatever it was, to be there. So my concern with this is, yes, it does require the garage to be moved farther back down the hill. It does require a few more trees to come out. But we made someone else do it, and they already had forms in place. So just food for thought. I will also say, though, that I appreciate that Mr. Wilson and Mr. McAllister are planning on lowering the grade as existing in order to minimize that impact and not have steep slopes either entering or diving into the garage, because nobody wants to fall into their garage, so... Thank you.
Carl, any discussion?
No, on this one, no. I just got a beat on this one.
Entertain a motion.
If I forgot the motion card.
Yeah, I was going to wait for it.
Good, sir.
So I'd make a motion that we approve the variance with the building at 32 feet and make sure that that's noted because it still said 30. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I got recycled paper here, so it's at 34.
It's okay.
Yeah. And the garage door has to go towards the west. No, towards the
east
side.
The 2 foot has to come off the west.
Try and get as much possible distance where anybody would be parking from the building.
And the 2 feet comes off the west side?
Mm-hmm. 2 feet comes off the west side.
Okay.
Seems like a good zone.
Do you want to perhaps reduce the variance? Because
I think she'd rather not do that.
But I think we should if we want to basically dictate where that corner of the garage is going to be.
Okay, so do you know what it is for sure?
You want to
All right, so based on the difference between 20.3 and 12.7 as shown on the plan, and you divide that across by 34 feet, then multiply it by 32 feet, and that comes out as to what you're going to have, and add it on top of the, or you add, multiply it by 2 feet, and you just add it on to 12.7, and you get 13.175.
Okay.
So that would be the new variance would be, you got to take that off of the 20 feet, so what would it be?
So it would be 6.825.
Yep. 6.825. So the variance would be for 6.825 from the road. That's the only variance.
You need. The setback being 13.175. Mm-hmm.
Right. Setback.
Correct.
The building is 32 feet. And it's going to be moved. Well, it has to be moved to say that. So I'm
yeah, the northeast corner can stay put.
Right.
All yeah, the northeast and southeast corners can stay put. Everything's just got to come over.
Right. On the west.
All the conditions and I'm going to say special condition number two.
Okay. Number two.
Yeah, because it's a physical condition.
Okay.
Because of the slope. I'm trying to protect the slope from the lake. That's the gist of my reasoning. It's pretty sloppy.
You're good.
I hope you got it all secondary.
I got it.
Gist of
that's her.
Okay.
Oh, we have a motion.
That 0.125 threw everyone for a loop a little bit. Yeah, Frank, way to go, Frank.
You know what? Mr. Tech Grads, fellow Tech Grads, can get fellow blame.
That's right.
Or at least empathy.
Yeah, I did.
Did someone second that?
Not yet.
Well, I'll support that.
Okay. Yeah. Moved and supported. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
You're all set. And next we are on to appeal request 6-19 by Jeff Johnson, authorized agent for owners of 4222 Celery Bay Drive, LLC, on a parcel of land located next to 42222 Celery Bay Drive, property identification number 28-03-235-017-00 in the Lakes Area, LA Zoning District. The request is to construct a single-family dwelling requiring two variances from Section 505, Table Number 1, Yard Setbacks, specifically a 35-foot water variance from the ordinary high water mark of Spider Lake, resulting in a 15-foot setback from the lake. The minimum water setback for a dwelling in the LA district is 50 feet. Also, a 28-foot variance from the front setback of Celery Bay Drive, resulting in a 2-foot setback from the road right-of-way. The minimum setback for a dwelling in the LA district is 30 feet. All right, Mr. Johnson? All right. Would you please state your name, address, and your relationship to the applicant, sir?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Wendell Johnson. I'm from the law firm of Smith & Johnson here in Traverse City, and I'll be speaking for Jeff Johnson and his wife, Diane. Also representing the property is Jules Yates for the seller. My people intend to build a house on this vacant lot. This lot is classified for tax purposes as residential on the tax rolls. It's also a legal lot of record since at least 1968, which pretty much grandfathers it for entitlements here in considering the variances. Now, as a single-family dwelling, no site plan has been required by your zoning, but the plan is to build a 24 by 36 foot house. That will also include a 14 by 24 foot garage. The garage would be built separately and after the house. It's pretty congested up there. First comes the house and then comes the garage. The property will then house a house of 864 square feet, meeting the requirements of the zoning. It's the physical condition, the shallowness of the lot, that requires us to come seeking variances here. On the eastern boundary, the proposal is to go as close as 15 feet from the water's edge. However, when you look at the lot, it's the only spot on the lot that's available to provide for a residence. All the lots along this Cherry Bay,
Celery Bay
Drive are serviced by a two-track. And that two-track has been there since at least 1948, according to the records I could find. And everyone is using the property to get to their house with this tiny little road. Three homes right close to the south, and then another one further to the north. The insertion of an additional house is not going to affect that roadway at all. The owner at the end was approached to see if he had agreed to move the road further to the, would be the west. He did not like that idea. That would have allowed for a little more space up there. So without moving the two-track, we have no other available location. The owners plan to use designers and an architect for the assistance in placing this house and correctly constructing it. And they actually have experience building two prior houses, the one that they're living in now on Rennie Lake. In your packet was the report from the Health Department, Grand Traverse County Health Department, indicating that this property will be served by enclosed septic system, holding tanks. And according to the drawings, you can see that it fits the Health Department regulations, 50 feet from the well, 50 feet from the neighbor's well, and so forth. The property clearly has environmental challenges. We provided an Traverse Outdoor letter to the board. I don't know if it made it to the package.
Mm-hmm.
Indicating that the shorelines and the slope area can be stabilized using a combination of fieldstone and native plants. Additionally, my people intend to work with the Grand Traverse County Soil Department, Soil Erosion Department, to make sure that what happens is as required by law. Now, the placement of the house at the hilltop there is in line with the three adjacent houses as you go north on Celery Bay Drive. The construction is anticipated to occur during the work week, so as to minimize any interference with the neighbors using their property on the weekends. Now, there has been some opposition from the neighbors to the south. Mr. and Mrs. Hulse have indicated just a flat-out general opposition to this. I mean, they can't put their finger on anything other than they don't like it. My people are not asking for any more rights to their property than Mr. and Mrs. Hulse have to their property. They have to have a house on it. Their property and the Johnson property here will have the same distance from the two-track with the granting of this variance. The neighbor to the north also has sent some written opposition to this, the Ludkeys. Gotten multiple letters, all on the stationery of some Unity Christian development. I don't know that that has any impact on this, other than to try to influence you as a board on some level other than what the law calls for. In his letters, and I've received at least three, he initially raised the concern that he had two boat trailers and a boat that he had to take down that road twice a year, once in the spring and once in the fall. But our plan is not going to change that road. And he has some pretty dramatic curves at the base, at the south end of that road, regardless of what happened up at the top where we're planning to build the house. He raised the issue of a heavy septic truck. Well, that truck's going across this two-track now when it's called upon. We're making no change there. In fact, to the extent we cut any trees down, it's going to be more accessible for the heavy septic truck to go through to the end lot. But the real killer here in my mind is he made just an outright threat to my people. He said this lot is simply not meant to be built on, and we will do everything possible to prevent this from happening. Close quote. Not a good neighborly attitude. In fact, it's pretty bad will. Looks to us that what he's trying to do is prevent the construction of a house there so he can continue to use this vacant lot for his own personal purposes. None of the objections that have been submitted to this board rise to the level of hardship. And I noticed one unsolicited letter of support from the gentleman. It's in your package there. So what we're looking at is a 15-foot variance off the water, 35-foot variance to bring the house within 15 feet. But this board just granted a lakeside variance of 38 feet to Mr. Bedbury. That's just in the minutes you approved from last month. And our use of the proposed use of the slope is no different from Holt's and the earlier homes on the Celery Lane. The new narrow two-track is going to be improved by what's going on rather than restricted or constrained. And what we are proposing is not going to have any negative impact on adjacent property values. And finally, I want to highlight for the board Section 405 of the zoning ordinance that says legal lots of record in existence as of the adoption of this ordinance, which we have, may be improved regardless of whether such lots meet the dimensional standards of this ordinance. So we ask for your consideration in granting the two variances.
Okay. Thank you. We may have questions at a later time. All right. Would anybody in the audience like to speak to this variance request or have any questions?
I have a question. What is the setback?
If you would, sir, please step up. Let us know who you are. Would love to answer any questions you have.
My name is Scott Huey. I reside at 896 Hobbs Highway South on Spider Lake. And my question is, what is a setback on the houses to the north and south on along the lake there between where they're going to build this house?
Okay. Thank you. Leslie, do we have that information at hand?
No.
Okay.
Is it because they were built before zoning?
They were built in 1950 and 1960, in that era. Looking at the aerials and measuring, they're anywhere from 2 to 6 feet off the road from when I measured with my little handy-dandy measuring tool.
So the neighboring homes are 2 to 6 feet off the trail?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That wasn't this gentleman's question. How far is it? I'm sorry.
Off the water.
Off the water. Okay. But again, those existing homes that are being referenced, if I'm correct, those were there before zoning. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Right. And they're anywhere from what I can remember, like 35 feet from the water, 40 feet from the water. I can't remember exactly, so don't hold me to it.
No,
so would it be fair to say that many of them are non-conforming to the current ordinance?
All the lots are fairly shallow, and
a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you go by boat,
is there any place where Mr. Huey could get a more definite answer?
I mean, he could come and look at what I'm looking at. Look at it. They're not exact measurements.
Okay.
That's close enough. My thought was, well, if the other one...
Can you come back up to the mic? I'm sorry.
I was wondering about the setback compared to the other houses there. The spokesman for the owner here mentioned about something about the property being grandfathered in. My question would be, how long have these people owned this property? What's the law with regard to when you sell a piece of property? I'm assuming it's not grandfathered anymore. I don't know that, but maybe he could clarify what he meant by this property was deeded or whatever it was before.
Right, and I might be able to help with that. I believe he mentioned that it's a lot of record, which means there are some rights that are associated with that piece of property.
Whether it passes through different owners or not.
Yes, it's still a lot of record. The record follows the land and not the ownership.
Great, thank you.
So, thank you, Mr. Huey. Would anybody else like to comment or ask questions?
Judy Mammoth, 4572 Albert Cortade Road. I fully understand that the proposed structure in the parcel, people have a right to build a home. But we must also comply with the zoning rules. The Zoning and Planning Board works very hard to be fair, be equitable, and we don't want to be setting precedents that come back and affect everyone. And I think that you need to really look at what we've done with the master plan in the last 3 years when we surveyed. The top five on the survey were preservation of our parks, lakes, and pristine areas of our township. That includes the overlay. Some of us worked very, very hard on the lakes overlay in 2008. We put a lot of time into that, and I really believe that that should be respected. And regarding the tree removal and regarding the setbacks, we have been commended by the watershed on our 50-foot setbacks, commended above other townships. We don't even let a shed within 15 feet of the lake regarding our ordinance. It's 16. That's 10 by 10. That buffer zone is really important. We want individual property rights, but we also have to understand when people live on a lake, they have riparian responsibilities. We all own the bottom land to the middle of the lake, which means that if a slope is steep and there is runoff, that runoff goes on neighboring properties, on my bottom land, on the neighbor's bottom lands, and that needs to be taken into consideration as well when you're dealing with the lake properties. In addition to that, many of us built new homes, and we complied with the zoning ordinances and worked very closely with the planning and zoning office at East Bay Township. And I respected all the things that they've done, and the planning and zoning people work very hard to work to be fair and equitable in the ordinances. And so I don't have a problem with it if it meets the zoning and the ordinances that are put in place. Thank you very much for your time, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Good evening. Stephen Halst, my wife April and I own 4222 Celery Bay Drive, the house which is right next to this proposed development. Mm-hmm. We actually bought that cottage a year and a half ago from the owner, who was the common owner, as I understand it, of both our lot and the one that's now being proposed to be developed. When we bought it from him, he had indicated, I'm going to you know, maybe use it to put my boat in or a canoe in. And we thought, yeah, that's great, that's fine. My wife and I looked at that lot and thought, there's no way you can build on that. I mean, given the steep slopes and this narrow trail through here, never even anticipated this sort of thing. But here we are. Now he's trying to sell it, and they're trying to develop it. I don't know, from a legal perspective, the issue of the common ownership aspect of this. I mean, you've got a common owner who's going to sell one lot, leave the other one, knowing you're going to need a variance. So I don't know if this is sort of a self-created problem for that owner, but I do want to make that or raise that issue and make that part of the record. The second comment I'd like to make is, you know, these, in my estimation, are extreme variances. I mean, 35 feet, 28 feet from the other side, 35 feet from Spider Lake. Now you're going to have a house built 15 feet from the lake. What sort of precedent does that set for the entire lake? I mean, how many other people are going to be saying, oh, my gosh, I can build that close to the lake? I'd like to be closer to the lake, too. But there's a reason we had this community put these variances in place. And so this is not like a 2 or 3 foot variance. This is an extreme variance in my estimation. On the other side, it's a 28-foot variance from Celery Bay. And for those of you that are out there today, you can see the corner of that proposed house is basically on the road. That's not the same as the other ones on that road. It is the corner of that house is literally supposed to be right next to the road is where they're proposing it, and I think that causes problems for getting in and out of there. For those of you who are there tonight, trees. The council here indicated, well, to the extent we have to cut down trees. Oh, no, we're going to be cutting down a lot of trees in this area. Where that house is going, they're going to mow down a bunch of trees. You saw that huge pine tree, beautiful pine tree right next to the next to the trail. That's going. There's going to be more trees cut down for the holding tanks on the Celery Bay side. I'm no environmental person, but I got to believe that impacts the stability. This peninsula is not huge, and it's got to have an impact there. So I have concerns about that. I also have concerns about construction equipment. Where is this going to go? How are you going to do this? There's just not, they acknowledge, there's not much space back there. There isn't. Finally, I'd reiterate, I did look at the East Bay Charter Township master plan, this comprehensive plan this community put together, and I too noted the first two priorities for people in this community are protecting surface water and groundwater and protecting natural areas. Those are the top two priorities. I think this proposal goes against those top two priorities. So I thank you for your time and consideration. I respectfully request that you deny the variance.
Thank you, sir. Would anybody else like to ask questions or a comment? Yes, sir.
I'm Bob Schellenberg. I'm the attorney for the Lutkes. I'm also Karen's brother-in-law. My address is 528 Bridge Street in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'd like to make a few comments about this. I'm not going to elaborate on the setbacks because I think he made a very good description of the extreme nature of these setbacks. 15 feet is extraordinary. A couple other notes. The tanks, the holding tanks, when we were out there tonight, it looked to me like the tanks were literally on the side of the hill. And I guess I'd like to know how they're going to fill so much. In order, I would expect that those tanks need to be buried. I don't see how those tanks can be adequately buried and yet still have erosion protection, because it would seem to me the water would flow around the tanks and eventually the tanks are going to become exposed. So that is one question. Another question I have is we've talked about the access road. The access road to me legally looks like an easement. Okay, and that easement is tied to all the deeds, and I guess if I'm wrong, please clarify. But that is a property issue that really is not under the jurisdiction of the township. That has to do with changing deeds and descriptions of property. So I'd just like to make that note that in order for that easement to actually be changed, it would seem to me everybody affected by that easement would have to join in on a deed changing the direction of that easement. And so that's not necessarily a township issue, that's a legal issue, property rights. There's reference to grandfathering the lot. The question there is, these two lots were owned together for a long time, And I think the view before, over that time, was the lots were effectively, but not legally, one lot to be used that way. And this is obviously a big change in that. In that, essentially, now you're having a spin-off of this property, even though they were separate lots. So I question what's going on there other than some economics. A couple comments the other attorney made. I don't think Jack intended anything as a threat. What he said was it's not intended to be a property with a cottage on it because it doesn't even come close to the setback rules. So that's not a threat. That's just making a statement as to the nature of those. And the other comment about Unity Christian, that's where he works. He's not implying anything other than the fact that he just used the letterhead where he works to make his comments. And as you know, when you make emails, when you have your return, your address on the email, that
sir?
Stuff is important.
Sir, you're to address us. Okay. You're not here to address him.
When you send emails, that stuff is embedded in the emails. So it was not intentional that it be Unity Christian. That's just the way his emails go out, just as mine go out under my CPA firm, my law firm, or whatever. So I'd like to just make those comments. Obviously, as neighbors, we're quite concerned about this, but I don't think I would take it as the absolute nature of what was described. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Would anybody else have anything? Yes, ma'am.
A couple comments regarding the water. We do go by the ordinary high water mark. However, as you all know from reading the Record Eagle this morning, in 1986, the lakes are up, are going to be higher. I mean, we're having ice earlier. We have more. So 15 feet. When we okayed a lot of the sheds being 16 feet, and I did send pictures along with that to Leslie, many of those are almost nearly in the water, and are several in the water. And so we really need to think about the fluctuating. Yes, will it go down? Probably at some point. Will it go up? Yes, probably at some point. So the 15 feet doesn't stay 15 feet when you're doing this variance. The other point I have to make is that I went down and Celery Bay is nothing but muck. I mean, I almost lost my hiking pole in that. And then I went to the other side, and I have medium hard sand, and I sunk my hiking pole 2 inches into my sand. And there, I sunk on the other side, on the big side of the lake, I sunk it in 24 inches. So the soils are pretty soft there. And when you go to remove trees, I think we have a real concern about that and with regard to the lake's overlay. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
I'm here in Lucky. Our Celebrate Bay address is 4260. We're at the very end of the peninsula. And our biggest concern, like Steve and even Judy said, is the nature of what we bought this place, this cottage, 18 years ago. The old gentleman owned it. They were in their 80s, and we loved it because of the natural driveway. I call it our driveway. And Steve and April have expressed the same thing. And it's, to me, the hardest thing was looking at that teeny little space. And how are we going to have a home there, which is going to be not a little cottage, it's going to be a home with a garage. How are they going to turn into the garage? The driveway is only, and a lot of you over there tonight, I just want to express that we don't have anything personally against people. And I thought that was very unfair and unkind of this attorney to say something about my husband when he could not be here tonight. So thank you, Bob, for correcting that. And we love Spider Lake, and I think it's wonderful. We are part of the Spider Lake Association, and I am all for the beautiful, beautiful lake that we have. And I just want to express that, and I do not want things to just get passed because you have some pressure from somebody else. And like Judy said, that's why you have setbacks. If we can go on and just build anywhere we want, then you've lost everybody. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good evening. Greg Cannon, 4209 Greylick. Just wanted to make a few comments. First off, I wanted to see if you received the packet in all of your paperwork there from the Watershed Center. Some of the information in there appears to contradict the applicant's counselor as far as sale date, etc. I would also point to, if you reference back to the warranty deed granted to the LLC, it does state on there that this sale is subject to the existing building and use restrictions, easements, and zoning ordinances of record. So the question becomes is, when I built my house in 99, I certainly obeyed all setbacks, etc. What makes this one so special? The reality is the counselor is trying to portray it as, well, we're having to do some of these things based on the lot. Well, then don't buy a lot that is basically unbuildable. I think one of the other things that we haven't taken into account is what they're going to do with the shoreline. If they are going to 15 feet back, and I don't know what the setback is on the Celery Bay side where they where they're putting their holding tanks, are they going to then come before the board asking for a seawall construction? What type of seawall? Have they done any consultation with the Michigan Department of Environmental Qualities? We don't know any of those things yet. There's certainly going to be significant more erosion with the loss of the trees. Another thing to consider that we haven't even thought about yet is, what about the size of the boats that are on the lakes now? It's not like it was back when I first bought in 99, where we had a little bit, didn't have some of the four-stroke motors and some of the larger boats zooming past, plus all the summer people shooting by and stirring up lakes. So we don't have a good answer on a lot of those things. For all those reasons and more, I think this should be denied. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir, please.
Good evening. My name is Ralph Bednars. I reside at 13. I'm sorry. Taking off a lip on here. I reside at 1380 Autumn Trail on Rennie Lake.
Yes, sir.
I'm a new resident to the township. We purchased our parcel 3 years ago on Rennie Lake. We built a new home. And we just moved in, or just got our occupancy permit in March. Our house is not totally complete, but we're completing it. And I first of all want to congratulate the township on a very well-written overlay district ordinance. I am a retired limnologist, had a 38-year career with the DNR /DEQ, now called Eagle. The last 20 years plus of that career, I managed Michigan's Inland Lake Monitoring and Assessment Programs, as well as lake management programs. I've had the pleasure of working with hundreds of lake associations and volunteer lake monitors, and I know what it takes to protect our inland lakes in Michigan. So once again, congratulations on your ordinance. It is one of the strongest ordinances I've seen in the state. One of the reasons we purchased our property on Rennie Lake was in part because of that ordinance. I know a lot about lakes. I wanted to reside on a lake finally after having a whole career working on our lakes in Michigan, so it's a bucket list item of mine. And I know how to protect lakes. And I wanted to use my development and property to show that off in this area. So what we painstakingly developed and designed our house and built our house to incorporate low-impact building properties. I'm losing my words here, but low-impact development. So that we would not have an impact on Rennie Lake at all. We have a natural shoreline. We have a 50-foot setback. which we totally protected right at the point of clearing trees. We plan on keeping that 50-foot setback the way it is, other than to develop a small access down to the water. Everything on the building footprint of the house and the landscaping was designed to entirely keep all surface water runoff from getting into the lake, including drip zones, French drains, rain gardens, again, painstakingly designing and developing this property so there would be no impact on the lake. So I guess what I'm saying to you is you have a wonderful ordinance in place to protect what I feel is a very important part of this township and an important part why most of us moved into this area. And you did mention that you did receive the letter from the watershed, the baykeeper. And if I can quote the end of that letter, quote, "The natural features that defines the character of the township are of vital importance, and protection and enhancement of these features is central to the land use decision-making. The baykeeper and the watershed center says, we encourage the board to carefully consider how fulfilling this request may jeopardize the township's natural features and set a dangerous precedent in the township." And I totally agree with their sentiments in that letter, not only that particular statement, but the entire letter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to speak? Yes, sir.
My name's Rod Rebant. My address is 648 Island View Drive, Traverse City. And I'm a board member of the Watershed Center. And I was told about this meeting earlier today and was sent some information that you have in your board packet. And I just want to say that what the watershed has been telling you covers their entire scope, which is 1,000 square miles around Grand Traverse County, Kalkaska. It takes the chain of lakes up through Torch Lake. It's consistent at 50 feet. There's a reason for it. We're in the middle of a major watershed, several sub-watersheds. This water goes somewhere. Sometimes it stays in these bodies of water, and you get flooding, localized flooding. We've seen that. So I won't go over all of the information that they've sent to you, but know that that is something that every lake property owner should know. And if I was buying property, I would be asking that question up front. If they've lived on another lake, maybe they should have known that. So, thank you, board.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir? Please.
I'd like Bob Schellenberg again, 528 Bridge Street, Grand Rapids. I think he made an important point that maybe the board should look at this deed. And I have no way of confirming the names or whatever, but the transaction did occur recently, and it is subject to the building use restrictions, easements, and zoning ordinances of record. So I'd just like to reemphasize that I think that was a pretty good point made.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to comment?
Greg Cannon again, 4209 Gray Lake. Just one quick comment. I want to call out that let's remember, this current purchase agreement that they have is just that, a purchase agreement subject to these variances. In effect, what we're really being asked to do is to ensure the profits of an LLC at the expense of the lake. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Yes, Jules Yates, 5276 Marks Lane. I'm actually here representing the buyers as well as, by extension, the seller. I just wanted to point out that a lot of comments were made regarding the granting of variance. The reason that we're here is because this was a parcel of record prior to the ordinance. And due to that and the fact that the ordinance clearly states that a property is allowed to be developed, is the reason that they're asking for these variances. They're not asking for a variance on any other lot. They didn't create the problem. And as far as the profits of an LLC, to take away the rights of the to build on this would effectively take away the value, and that's the purpose that the ordinance stated, that it has to be allowed to be developed. And they're asking for something reasonable. They're trying to keep it in the same, similar to the adjacent parcels, keep it consistent. The questions were brought up about the garage. The garage is there for storage so that they have room, may or may not park a car. There's room to park a car next to it. And they're trying to keep it consistent with the neighborhood and not do anything outside of that scope of the ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, hearing none. Oh, all right, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple comments about the tree cutting. The large tree that you saw at the top of the hill there, that tree is damaged. It's going to have to be cut and removed regardless of what happens in the rest of this. Holding tanks. Mr. Schellenberg raised a question of the tanks washing out. They're 5-foot-wide tanks. There's substantial space along there to bury a 5-foot tank. But what I really want to call to your attention, I guess, is the zoning requirements that you have to look at here under variances, section 1007. The applicant is supposed to show the basic conditions have been met and the special conditions. As you go through here, we've met all of them. Number one says it shall not be contrary to public interest or the intent and purpose of the ordinance. Well, the ordinance says this lot predates the ordinance, and it's got to be respected for what it was and where it is. Y'all can't change that. We haven't heard anything in here that says that's not the good law of the ordinance. Two, it's got to be permitted by right. In this zoning section, you can have a house, a detached dwelling. That's what we're after. Number three, it won't cause a substantial adverse effect upon properties in the immediate vicinity. We haven't heard any. We've heard some speculation. But nobody said their house is going to fall down because they're going to build this house. Might be inconvenient a day or two. There's no substantial adverse effect upon their properties. Number four, this is not a general or recurrent nature that would like rewrite your regulations. It's a single spot. It's the only home site left at the end of this road. And the neighbors don't really want you to allow a building here because they think it's pretty nice to have a vacant lot next door they can use for nothing. Number six is the variance shall not be necessitated by any self-created condition. It wasn't. This is the shape of the lot. It's a real slender, skinny piece of land. But the zoning ordinance says, and everybody who's of record back then gets to build a house. Seven, there's no reasonable alternative location. Well, clearly there's not. Might move it east or west a little bit, east, west, towards the bay. But the neighbor to the north opposes that. So once you jump through those hoops, then you get into the special conditions, either one or two. I think we have them both. Number one says where there's practical difficulties which prevent full compliance with the requirements of the ordinance. Huh, we're there. No getting around it. That's why we're here asking for the variances. And secondly, where there's exceptional or extraordinary circumstances, or what we have here, or physical conditions such as narrowness, shallowness, shape, topography of the property involved that do not generally apply to other properties in the same zoning district. I submit we have met the burden of your zoning ordinance and we're entitled to the variances as applied. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I don't think I stated that a person doesn't have the right. What I'm saying is abide by the ordinances, and there is science. The watershed people are scientists, and I'm not sure that we had an arborist look at that tree to say, I'd like to see that as well. So, you know, let's talk about fact here. We have worked diligently over the years on the lakes overlay, and that is based on science, on our soil or erosion commissioner, Steve Largent. We know that muck doesn't drain. We know that part of that property is on muck. I think we have some issues here. At best, I would like you to table this and really do due diligence regarding the science behind it. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Hearing none, we'll close public discussion and open up this variance request to the board for discussion and action. And I would like to make sure that we have in the record the letter from the township attorney. Let's see here. Give me just a moment.
There you go.
Thank you.
Is that the one you were looking for?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Leslie, please correct me if I'm wrong, but this applicant, having a lot of record, basically gives them the right to have a dwelling of some sort on their property. And the township attorney opines that since this property is located in the LDR district, a variance allowing for the building
of... That was just an example.
That's an example.
As an example, okay. Yeah. Excuse me. So, anyhow, a variance allowing for the building of a home that at least meets the minimum floor area of 768 square feet under the regulations for that district would be the minimum of what is appropriate. So it seems like this board's task is to decide perhaps what the minimum variance allowances are, but it also sounds as if we can't just outright deny the right to put a building on that property.
Right, and I also forwarded the watershed letter to you.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
And he told me that one of the cases that were cited was the Bevan case. And in their ordinance, they require that substandard lots that are under the same ownership have to be developed as a single lot. Our ordinance does not say that.
Okay.
And that's why he said we have to allow some type of a variance.
And also, correct me if I'm wrong, that the two lots that are in question, the one that you purchased and the one that's before us tonight with a variance request, are actually two separate legal lots of record dating back to the mid-60s.
Right. Legal non-conforming lots of record.
So this isn't a split in any recent time frame.
No. Uh-uh. We would never have approved any split like that.
So, yes, sir, please.
Yeah, and our attorney also said, but minimum relief so as to avoid a taking should be granted. So that's, I just want to get that out there, too. So we know we established a minimum size of 768 square feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we could not deny this if it is 768 square feet. Is that what I'm reading? Is that what my understanding is?
It is, okay. But... if there,
well, we could, yeah,
in my opinion, if there is a way to approve a property, a building of 768 square feet with a less non-conformance,
but
that might
be
our consideration.
Just have a less setback,
right,
or more of a setback, I guess, from spider light. Okay,
less
got
variance,
that.
Right.
So could this 768 square feet even meet any setbacks?
Period. Great question.
It would be less.
None. Just less, it's still going to be non-conforming. Okay.
Right, and it has to be 20.
Yeah.
But it has to be 24 feet wide.
Yep.
So it wouldn't change the setback,
yep,
to either,
okay,
lake.
Yeah.
It would change the, yeah.
Okay.
And,
well,
and I don't know what directions, yeah, those are, but
and possibly the road setback.
It can't be any shorter.
Yes.
24 minimum.
Yeah. If it were 2 foot shorter, it would be that much further from the road.
24 foot.
Wide.
One way.
Right.
Minimum.
One way.
And then whatever it takes to meet the 768.
So if it, if it was 50 foot wide.
I'm sorry?
If it was 50 foot long, then it could be 18 feet, 6, 15 feet the other way. Is that right?
No, I don't think so.
It's got to be 24 one side, so if it's 768, you're going to be more. 24 by 24 is 576. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Minimum.
If you put on one side, that means.
Yeah, but you have to have one side.
Has to be 20.
Minimum living space is 24 by 24.
Yeah, that's pretty
minimum.
Big,
yeah, it's right here.
But.
Well, this is saying 768 with 24 on one side.
That's what I'm getting to.
32 feet
on
the other.
That's exactly what I was getting to. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they are 4 foot by 24 foot larger than combining the minimum living space and the minimum floor area dimensions when you take those into account. So they're, you know, instead of a 24, it would be a 24 by 32 if it was meeting the 768. And making sure that you're at least 24 feet in one dimension, right? So they're looking 24 by 36.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yeah, because 24 by 24 is 576. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So again, I don't think we have many. We can't outright deny anything if it's 768 square feet. Is that
well,
my?
But their proposed.
Where do we set it?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if they set it where we would agree to it, where do we? What's our legal recourse?
Their proposed building is bigger than that.
What we want? What can we ask them to do at 768 square feet?
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying, or is that
we can deny it and then they can come back?
Okay, that's all I need to know. Got it.
But
well, or we can approve
you need to
less.
Know that 768, the 24 wide, it's not going to change the variance either way to the road or the water.
So right.
There's still 24. Yeah. So the so the requested variance, the requested setback variance is still the same. Unless Celery Bay Drive gets moved.
Yeah, but they're asking for another variance. Too, not.
No, just from the.
Well, they said there's two.
The water, right?
But two.
Gotcha.
It's at the other end, sir.
Other end.
Yep.
Okay. In order to put this house where it's going to have the least impact because it looks, I don't have, you know, 52 feet one way or another. I mean, you could even put that house right in the middle of the road and you're still going to be in, you're still going to be in one setback or another is what it looks like. So I mean, you could build it like a Howard Johnson's Oasis over top of the Turnpike in Chicago and it's still going to be a problem.
I mean,
there's no
we
way
allow out. Dimensional variances. I mean, you could allow it not to be 24 feet. But they would have, we'd have to re-notice it. Because that's a dimensional variance.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said.
That's interesting.
And the side yard setback is 10.
Yeah.
And we're looking for more setback from the
lake. Yeah. So we
maximum that we can get.
We can skip the
24 foot. However, they design the building.
Not tonight.
We can give them a variance on their building.
So
we could deny it on that.
We can approve, deny, approve with conditions, approve a lesser variance, or table. Those are all of our choices.
I think I would like to make a motion that we just deny it.
Yeah. I'll support that.
And then let them figure out what they want to do and come back.
All right. And They should know that if they come back, they're able to come back in less than the normal 1 year wait, as long as their request is substantially different from the one they have
right.
this
and we're
evening.
Looking for minimal lot coverage.
I need to know
and
why
we are open to
get there. We haven't made the motion yet, so if we do make the motion to deny it, we have to specify exactly why, and so that will be covered.
I thought Ted made the motion.
Right.
He said he would.
Second.
No, Ted made Carl
but
second.
I know why you're denying it because of the water setback.
Right. We want the maximum setback from the lake, and we will allow they can ask for a variance on the width, on the size of the building, you know, the 24-foot part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have a narrow building.
And we and the sides are shouldn't be a problem at all. If it's 80 feet foot wide, you got 10 foot on each side, that's 60 feet.
Well, yeah. Looking at this drawing report,
right?
You know, and the side setbacks is 10 foot each side. They've got 16 on one, including the garage,
and 20,
and 20 on the other. So, yeah, it could become a, as an example, but nothing concrete, a 20, you know, 20 by, I mean, it could go from 36 plus the 14, which is what, 50. It could expand out another 10 to 60, 66 feet wide.
Yeah, well, exactly.
And reduce down to 24 or whatever. It could have a second story. It could,
it could have a second story, too.
It can go up.
It could go down.
Well.
No.
That with the soils, yeah.
Well, if you're going to stick a house on there, somehow that soil's got to support it, whether it's this soil or that soil.
That's true.
And if you get below the top muck, then now you might be into better soil.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not doing any soil borings out there. So
piling. Duck Lake, we did a lot of piling.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
I know a piling job going up in Harbor Springs right now.
There's other options that would protect the lake.
But anyway, that's,
Right, so do we have a motion?
Yeah, he made a motion and I supported.
Do you have enough of what you need?
Do we have the basis that's required?
Mm-hmm.
Can we restate it so that all the members of the audience are clear?
Could you read it back, please?
It was so convoluted. I will say it just like him.
Okay.
Okay. So it's
no. They are denying it as they want the maximum setback from the lake that is possible. And he can get that by asking for a variance on the size of the building. And he can return at any time because he is asking for something different.
As long as his request is for something substantially different.
Mm-hmm.
All right, discussion? All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passed. Now, sir, if you'd like to ask a question, do you want to address Leslie or do you want to address the board briefly? All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Next topic.
All right. Could we talk about other business?
The resolution.
We have this as new business?
Yes. Let's discuss and act on our resolution of meeting dates and time for East Bay Charter Township Zoning Board of Appeals, January through December 2020.
Okay. Can you take a minute? Because Leslie's got to take minutes. And they're talking to her. Sorry.
We'll catch your breath.
They shouldn't be talking.
No, they shouldn't.
You know, not just the Lions, not bad enough, but NFL is getting so exasperated I quit watching. I don't watch.
Would everybody in the audience please recognize this meeting is still in session, and whether you stay or depart is your own choice, but do so quietly, please. We still have business to attend to, and our secretary needs to record these things. Please and thank you.
And now Carol to go.
Okay.
He's back.
There he is.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Nope. All right, buddy.
All right, so let's talk about the meeting dates and times. Everybody happy with what we ran into tonight with O-Dark 30 for site plan reviews?
No.
That
no.
really doesn't have anything to do with this, though.
No, this is for the regular.
Well, it does, because it has 6:30.
Right, but I want to get it out there that perhaps we need to look at some alternate times for site reviews.
Should we do them by ourselves?
Or we do them by ourselves.
I did it by myself. And we really need to go.
They're really not good.
So you can see it. Because John Syke filled me in and told me you got to see it when it's daylight. Well, plus, like,
can we do it on our own time? Will the townships?
Yeah, and then just fill out the paper when you come in.
Yeah, the only...
Oh, watch that bee, man. It's been flying.
Not a bee, it's a stink bug.
Oh,
The only question...
It's making its rounds.
The only question or issue I have, Leslie, is there are times when people are on site to meet us and, yeah, and present and ask us, you know, answer questions. And if we just all go whenever we feel like it, I don't know how that works for the applicant.
That's how everybody else does it. We're the only township that doesn't. So okay, let's figure it out.
What do you want to do?
Obviously, we can't do it in the dark. No.
Well, hey, I was going to say,
in the summer we meet, and yeah, in the winter we don't. We do it on our own.
Have a broader time range to tell the applicant that the planning commissioners are going to be coming somewhere between noon and 5 o'clock.
Well, yeah, but like I think Carl probably went on a different day.
Or a different day.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Carl had to go on a different day.
And see, I like that idea. I know years ago we used to do site reviews like on Monday and the meeting on Tuesday, mm-hmm, and that solved some problems sometimes.
We can do that.
Yeah, we used to do that, didn't we?
Yeah. Does anybody...
Well, but you still got to start earlier in the...
Oh, absolutely.
In the winter.
But I mean...
5 o'clock.
But some people work until 6 o'clock.
Yeah, like today I couldn't, yeah. That's why...
And we're the second...
Yeah, you go on your lunch break.
Yeah.
We're the second Tuesday.
And we do have the opportunity.
So the Monday is the board meeting day. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
I mean...
I don't like doing that different day if we can help it.
Okay.
I would rather...
Go
give
on
us
your
the
own.
Option of going on our own, like Carl might be able to go on if he can't go on his lunch break, or we know it's going to get dark. We could all go on our lunch break or something.
Okay.
But what about the summer? We're just going to still do that, or
try to get together and do it.
Summer
together
is
when can, because yeah, because then we'll like it.
Well, we have to have a set plan.
Oh, we do. We.
Okay. Well, we can do out from daylight savings.
Oh yeah. But you do, yeah.
Because that would eliminate the. During daylight savings, whatever
my
you call this.
Doesn't account for daylight savings. There's just, you know, just like yours. Well, you know, in the wintertime, you don't show up an hour earlier.
No.
You do the best you can. That's all you can
but
do. Yeah, that's yeah.
Well, I get the real question, in my opinion, when you get to this time of year and you get to this lack of daylight and you don't want to say, well, you can't apply for anything during certain months because we can't get out during off work hours in order to have a look at it, is... Do we still need to have, are we required by law to have a site meeting?
No.
Okay. All right. Now, it is good.
For, our attorney says we shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
Aha. But that's why it's okay. So that's your comment about, you know, we're the only ones doing
yeah
it.
But it is so helpful.
Value.
Well, it is.
I remember a couple
yeah
years ago.
Oh, yeah.
One
absolutely.
Peninsula business park. Remember that one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had my mind made up. And I'm like, wait, thank God we came to this.
Yeah.
But we could have been there on our own, too. Well, we wouldn't have got the input from everyone. You changed my mind, Dave, actually. Which was good.
So do we still do site meetings?
Yes.
If we have some, and, you know, the worst we can do is see, if we advertise it, then it's got to be done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then somebody has to be there to meet with and record the applicant.
Quorum has to.
And
must be, right?
You have to have a quorum.
Okay.
Although it does state if there is no quorum, we don't meet. I mean, we
move on. But yeah, what will you get out of that?
Well, nothing.
Well, we can still go look at it ourselves.
But no, you can't, because it's a public meeting, and if you don't have a quorum, you can't have that public meeting.
No,
when
but I think he's
it
saying
a public meeting, you have to go to it.
Right.
You can't just go by yourself.
Yeah. So we would essentially have to go twice to look at it in good daylight, and then go back for the meeting so that it can be recorded and any others outside of the applicant or agent that would speak either for or against it has an opportunity on record at that site meeting in addition to the opportunity here to do it. So
if we do a site,
in my opinion, I say we leave it the way it is. When we have multiples, I mean, we still have to, you know, still got to have a site meeting, but that the applicant must understand that the board members may come during normal daylight hours. We should, at the very least, go knock on their door and say, hey, I am such and such. I am here for this purpose. They don't have, you know, if they wish to make themselves available, wonderful. If not, that's fine, because they have a set meeting date when they have to be there. That's That pretty much sums up my book. You know, I'd be happy to go there, and, you know, because I could swing by in the morning easier than I can swing by in an evening.
What you're saying is we're going to have a meeting, but if for some reason you can't make it, you let Leslie know, and then you're just going to go. You're just going to go at your own time. And then you can say, well, I've already got two people aren't going to be there, so we won't have a quorum. So you have to come.
We are putting it in the newspaper that you're having a site meeting.
Yeah.
So you have to have the site meeting.
Right. And all we have
if
to have
you
is
want to go
members.
Earlier and look at it, you still have to go to the site meeting.
Well, they don't always all come to the site meetings.
I'm just saying. You have to have a quorum at that site meeting.
That's three people. So if we call you and say, I can't make it to that time period, then you can say, sorry, you're called in third. You've got to come.
Or you don't have site meetings. And
hey, Leslie, I ain't making any site meetings this next year. You guys fight over the rest of the open spot.
Don't do site reviews, and then everybody has to go on their own if you want to go. I mean, if you feel that that's helpful.
But, you know, and I respect what you're saying.
No, I know.
But, like, tonight and so many other site meetings,
it makes a world of difference.
We discuss, mm-hmm. we learn, we ask questions.
Oh, I know.
I am valuable.
A huge proponent of site reviews. But
leave it as it is. How about that? Yeah.
Leave it
as
it is. Vote on the dates and we'll figure it out.
We'll carry
Okay, I move then that the proposed resolution of meeting dates and times as presented and outlined on this proposal for meeting dates for the year calendar year 2020 be approved.
Support. Second.
Moved and supported. Discussion?
Wait. Who supported me? Thank you.
I just got to throw this out here. Would anyone object to this meeting at 5? Because today's the only day I couldn't make it because I was basically told I had to stay at work. But if you meet at 5,
I was still working on some dude's house.
Are you? I thought you guys
so, over. I was the other day. But I'm still working on some guy's house today.
Just leave it like it is.
Okay. Yeah.
Are we good?
We'll work it out.
Because how many times are we going to do two in the winter anyway? That's just the flu.
Frank?
Yes, ma'am.
Write below it the date, and I'll white out that January on yours.
Yes, ma'am. Adopted November 19.
Right, no further discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passed.
Yay.
All right. Public comment.
Ted, HENTS.
Yeah, let's do reports.
Just turn that damn thing. SCH.
Right.
Like I thought.
Remember, just quick one.
Just help.
Yeah, because I'm.
Huh?
Just help. Sorry. Tax bills and newsletter went to print today. The budget was passed at the meeting last Wednesday.
How is the township financially?
We're doing well. I think the fund balance, we didn't specifically talk about that, but I think it's increasing $150,000, maybe. So we looked at that. We also agreed a couple of things happened. We named the streets for the Arbutus Ridge development. And we agreed to put a light pole on Hobbs and Greilich Road. That was a request that came in, which is where I was before I went.
Alta Vista Road, too.
Is it Alta Vista? Okay, it's Alta Vista, not Arbutus Ridge. Sorry, too many complexes going on, which is a good thing. We also... I know we are still working on the sewer stuff down on Munson, doing a temporary fix of some sort for the winter because we couldn't get it done before that. I'm trying to think of what else. We have a planning intern. I don't know if Les is going to talk about that
no,
or Ted.
I'm not talking about anything.
We have a planning intern that is working on the short-term rental stuff, and somebody's got to talk about the new planner we hired.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about it yet.
Oh. We hired a new planner. We hired a new planner, Claire
Connor.
She comes from Beckett and Rader, and she'll start towards the end of December.
December 30th.
See, she should be reporting. So that's exciting because we'll have an in-house planner now, and she's a little bit younger. She's done planning for several municipalities in northern Michigan, so I think that's going to be very helpful. It's not just her experience isn't one place. It's a lot of different places. I think she said she was planner of record for four municipalities right now. So, and she did work at LEIA prior to that. So she did planning all over northern West Michigan, I guess.
And a master's degree in planning.
Yep. So excited to get her on board. So, yeah, I mean.
Is that another person I have to train?
Well, we had quite a full
house.
Get to
train him your way, Leslie. Yeah. Take advantage of this now.
This is how you do it.
Yeah, we had quite a full house a week or so ago because we had the accountant here and the planner and the intern. Leslie's little hub back there was very busy. So anyway, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Planning Commission, please.
Pretty dull. Did a little bed and breakfast ordinance make it more like the short-term rental one or something? I don't know. People aren't happy with it yet, but that's it. Nothing major.
Okay. Thank you. And we do have another opportunity for public comment at this time. If you have anything you'd like to bring up, ma'am?
No.
All right. Thank you. Anything else, board? All right. Adjourned.
Thank you.
I like how you recycled my planning commission. And I love you.
She knows you're concerned about that.
I'm looking at that one.